And you're at the end of your rope, and it's like, how much more? Thank you. How much more can I take? How much more can I endure? How much farther can I go? You know, at what point does it stop, or does it change, or is it just different? And it's those times we got to just trust God. And as the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Just rest and wait and be patient, knowing God is working everything out on your behalf, because all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. So we got to trust that. We got to realize that. I went to a funeral today, and a lot of you, hand me that paper, Jeremy, right there, if you can reach it. Thank you. I'm glad somebody told me about it this morning. I didn't know about it. Somebody at church knew about it and told me. I'm so thankful they're not here tonight. But this is Miss Maggie Roseboro. Goes to Chestnut Grove Church. This is Brother Roseboro, the one that's been here leading the choir, that gets happy and dances. Wonderful man. This is his grandmother. She was 107 years old. 107. She was born in 1907. And they said that she only had declining health the last couple of years. She had a sister that lived to be 100. So, folks, you might want to go home, but you might have a long way yet to go. So I'm just saying. But the funeral service, of course, was wonderful. They talked about her life, and it really made me reflect on what, you know, it's not my message tonight, but it got me thinking, what footprint are we leaving behind to our generation? And this woman was just amazing. Brother Roseburg is like a mom to him. She joined Chestnut Grove Church in, I think it was 1947 or something. And been there all those years. Can I get amen on that? One church all those years. And serving the church, was actually one of the first ushers when that church was formed. Just a wonderful woman. The eulogy, of course, was wonderful. And it talked about, of course, you know, all the things that that she endured. Her favorite song was Amazing Grace. And, of course, they sung at church. She was married for 63 years. Her husband passed away back in 94, I believe. But they were married for 63 years. She was born in David County, actually, but went to school in Iredell County. And you just think about someone's life. I mean, think about how life was so different. And they, of course, went through a list of all things she endured. World War I, she was alive. World War I, she was alive. Of course, World War II, and, you know, the Great Depression, and Vietnam, and, you know, the civil rights, and, you know, it really was pretty amazing. And it actually talked about, you know, on another note, actually talked about how that, you know, that she lived to see the first black president in the United States. You got to think about growing up. She never would have dreamed that, of seeing the first black president in the United States. She saw that. 107 years. What a life. She was considered the mother of the church there. Pastor Gibson gave a eulogy, a wonderful eulogy, and got real happy and excited. Got me happy and excited. Had me in a funeral to dance with him. But I was trying to be a little, restrain myself. And of course, I'm sitting back here. The church is packed. They got chairs in the overflow section outside. I don't want to be outside where I couldn't see. I want to be where the action's at. So I said, look, I asked one of the deacons, can I just go in and stand against the back wall? Oh, that's fine. Well, they saw me there, of course. Pastor, you don't want to come here. You go up here. I don't want to go up there and see. I'm fine back here. No, you'll come up here. So I got to be up with the other preachers on the stage. So that was pretty neat. And got to amen. And Brother Roseburg grabbed my hand and looked at it while he was dancing. He got dancing, singing a song. It was just, it was beautiful. But anyway, a wonderful life. So keep Brother Roseboro. He was very tore up. This woman pretty much raised him his whole life for 61 years. And she will be greatly missed in that church and that community. They said her famous saying was always this, every time you talk to her, don't add one thing to the Word of God and don't take one thing out of it. It's the Word. And I thought that was great. But anyway, just keep them in your prayers. We need to get them back out sometime to sing for us and fellowship with us. That's just, he is awesome. But Brother Roseburg sung a song. What song did he sing? No more Monday. Y'all may have heard it. It's an old song. No more Monday, no more Tuesday, no more Wednesday. It'll all be like Sunday. And they kept going with that. Every day would be like Sunday. And the choir was going, man. He was on that stage. And, oh, my gosh, I about took off running. I was like, whew, man, alive. I about made you want to be there in the casket because, man, they celebrating you. You know what I'm saying? You're like, man. So it was just wonderful. But that's what it's about. It's a celebration. But anyway, Mella, come here. I want you to lay this back on the table in case somebody wants to see on the way out. They did a wonderful job. It's got beautiful pictures of her. There's pictures of her graduating and of her family, and it tells a little bit about her. But it's just a very. I know. I thought about you and I saw that. That's how it's supposed to be. That is very personal. It tells a lot of information about her. So lay that back here, and if you want to look on the way out, just kind of flip through it. But what a man, 107 years. Whew, incredible. Man, what a long life. But now she's alive for a more, as we know. All right, I want to talk tonight for just a little bit, if you'll bear with me tonight, on being aware of his presence. And since this is Pentecost Sunday that we talked about this morning, I kind of want to continue that in tonight. How that because of his Holy Spirit living in us, we should be more aware of his presence than maybe we are. That how his presence is with us everywhere we go. You know, David says, if I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I go to the pit of hell, you're there. If I go to the earth, you're there. I can't escape you. You know, you're everywhere. And we really think about how the presence of God is not just in a church building, or it's not just in a prayer meeting, or it's not just in a tent revival, or it's just not when you're watching a TV preacher, or it's not your devotions at night. But the presence of God's with you everywhere you go, and your work, in your car. I mean, it don't leave you. It's part of you. And we need to be more mindful of that presence of God, because we can use it if we're mindful of it. If we know we got it, we can use it. When we need some peace, he gives us peace. One of the things they said about Sister Roseborough was that Pastor Gibson said, you know, he knew her 17 years when he came to church there. He said, she was one that would tell me, now, Pastor, don't be go talking about all your problems to people, because they don't keep their word and they'll run their mouth to somebody about it. Before you know it, it's not even half the truth of what you told the first time. Said, you take it to God. That's you take it to God. Nobody else, you take it to God. And that's great wisdom, and that's great advice. And we should take things to God. That's why his presence is there, to help us and to strengthen us through those storms and through those times of trouble. So let's start out, if you would, in Psalms 19:1. Just got a few verses tonight. And I'm going to talk about kind of the natural presence of God we see, and then go to more of the spiritual part of experiencing that presence. Psalms 19:1. Just one verse here, and it says, as you can see on the screen, the heavens declare the glory of God. They declare it. They speak it. They say it. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. So we see the presence of God just by the heavens, just by nature, just by what we see with the sun, the moon, the stars. We learned as a kid, you know, little stories. He made the sun, moon, stars, hold the whole world in his hands, How true that is, to realize that when we look in the heavens, we see the presence of God. We see it. When we look at the night sky, we see the presence of God. The heavens declare it. Every time the sun rises, there's the presence of God. When it sets, there's the presence of God. When the moon comes out, there's the presence of God. When the clouds roll by, there's the presence of God. When the rain falls, there's the presence of God. We see it in creation. So we should be very aware that we're not just here alone, and God's not distant. He's not cold. He's not way over there somewhere. He's not somebody we got to just shout down with the loud drums and loud music and hope to God that he moves and hears us on our behalf. It's not, you know, God, if you hear me, come on down. It's no, God, you do hear me and you're here. So let's operate in that. Let's use that presence for our advantage. That's why he gave it to us. John 14, if I got that verse in there, I don't. John 14, Jesus, you know, says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you back a comforter, and he will abide with you forever. He was talking about the Holy Spirit being poured out, this gift we talked about this morning, this beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit. He says, he will abide with you forever. That gift of the Holy Spirit is with us forever, in every storm, in every battle, in every season. He's with us. He's not going to leave us. He is on duty. He is on guard. He is at attention, waiting for us to use him, waiting for us to walk in that power and to use that glory he gave us. That's why when we have a need, we go to God. I mean, we just go to God right there. Right then, we go to God and say, Lord, you see this need. You see what I need, God. And I know that you can help me through this. Help me wait till it comes. Strengthen me while I'm going through the storm. Protect me while I'm going through it. Keep my eyes on you. Keep my faith strong. Whatever it is, I know you're with me and abiding with me forever. That's a gift God gave each believer that's born again. I'm not going to leave you alone. We are not fighting this alone. If we would go to God with our problems as much as we post on Facebook our problems, we would have our answers. We'd have our answers. I'm telling you. It's amazing the drama you see on Facebook of everybody's problems and storms. Let's take it to God. And instead of putting the problem on Facebook, you know what we can put on Facebook instead? The answer. God has moved on my behalf. He has healed my body. He has set me free. He has moved my mountain. He has slew my giant. He has delivered my stronghold. He has broke free. He has restored my joy. He has granted me peace. Put that stuff on Facebook to declare the goodness of your God. Let them see what the answer is, not what the problem is. We got problems. We know that. But putting it on there is not going to solve anything. It's going to get everybody in your business and make it worse. I'm telling you, it's going to make it worse. Even though me and Melanie are very public in our lives and in ministry, we're very private in our personal lives. There's a reason for that. You don't see us posting personal things on Facebook. Either it's something to do with the church or what I want to call one of my enlightening moments where I just start typing something for God I put on there. I'll put some pictures every now and then or something. But, you know, you're not going to ever see from this man, Melanie made me so mad. I slept on the couch last night. LOL. I'm not going to put that on Facebook. That's exactly right. That's exactly, it just keeps on firing up. Go with the answer. I'd rather see the answer on Facebook than the problem. Go to the next scripture. This is Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. Just got two verses here to read. Being aware of his presence. You know, if we were more aware of his presence, we probably would live a little differently, wouldn't we? We tend to think his presence stops when we leave the church. But his presence travels with us. And if we're aware of that presence, not only are we aware more of our lives and how we're living them for God, but we're aware of the help that's at hand for our lives when we need it. That help that we need. Verse 20. Actually, it's 19, isn't it? It's 20 and 21. Yeah. I'm going to read 19. I meant to put that on there too. I missed it. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, by that they are without excuse. This is a very important verse in the Bible. Let me explain why I think this is really here. The Word of God is letting every person on earth know, the atheist, the agnostic, you know, the one that doesn't believe, whatever. Paul is saying God has clearly shown his creation, and so there is no excuse for people not to seek me, because they've got to know there's something bigger than them. So what do? We start asking questions. I'm going to, in the close, I'm going to have Melanie pull it up for me. There's a 3-minute video of a guy talking about evolution. I think it's the best 3 minutes explanation I've ever heard. It's wonderful. Talk about evolution. 3 minutes long is all it is. And he talks about how it takes more faith not to believe in creation than it does to believe in creation. So we'll play that at the end of service. I have to get Melanie pulled up for me. There's no excuse, he's saying. Look what God made. I mean, how can we explain that sun? It didn't just happen. 93 million miles away, that sun has been and stood and remained. We are the perfect distance to sustain life. We are the only planet in our solar system that can exist with human life because of that very thing. One planet over, you burn up. One planet further, you freeze. We're the only planet in our solar system that can sustain human life. Our air is perfect for our lungs. 78-22 ratio. Perfect. Does that just happen to be? Gee, bang. All this chaotic stuff created this perfect air quality that only we can breathe. You know, you can't breathe that same way on the moon. You got to have stuff on you to breathe on the moon that way. I've been there, I know. And so you have to, you know, you breathe different. You look at our seasons, how they change. I want you to really think about this. Each of us have different seasons we love. But think about when fall begins to happen. You start seeing a little slight discoloration of the leaves. The sky changes a little bit. You have that fall sky. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It changes. It looks different in fall. You start having that little cool nip, but not cold, just a little cooler nip hitting the air. How do those leaves know when it's time to die? It's a perfect order that God created. Perfect order. The same way with spring. Oh, my gosh. You start seeing the buds on trees. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The little hard buds on trees. How do them buds know to come forth? How do those flowers know to come out? How does a dogwood tree know how to bloom again? At a certain time, every year, they bloom again. Never fails. Because God ordered it that way. We see His presence in all of that. Church, we can't help but see God in that. How can anyone deny there's nothing bigger than them when they see even how the seasons change, how the weather patterns are formed, the beautiful snow that falls in the winter, and the thunder and light in the summer, and the mountains in the fall, and you know the your yard in the spring. All that's completely different seasons that we see and we experience. We have day and we have night, except if you're in Alaska. We got day and we got night in the same day. That's pretty neat that the sun sets. God is so exact. If you ever, you know the beach, they have tide charts. Y'all seen that? High tide, low tide. Gives you exact time. So you know exactly. They can put it to a minute. High tide is 12:02 today. It's 12:04 tomorrow. 12:06 or whatever the next day. Low tide. It's so exact because God is exact. It's amazing that tide knows to come in, to go out, to come in, to go out. It's amazing. He even gave communication to animals. They have proven now dolphins talk to each other. You know that sound they make. They talk to each other. Whales can send signals that travel hundreds of miles. I'm talking about a big mouth. I mean, think about it. They can send a signal here and 100 miles away, somebody receive it. It travels. Their signal travels under the waters. We see it. The snakes have come out, right? Stopped by to see Doc the other day, me and Melon did, Doc and Debbie. And we just missed a great event. We just missed a 5-foot king snake crawling right in front of their place. Just missed it. Big old long king snake. Just sliding across there, that hot pavement. You don't see snakes in the winter. You know why? They're hibernated. Who tells them to hibernate? Hey, Lord, you want to go hibernate? No. I mean, God tells them. He directs their steps. If they got steps, He directs them. And they just know to go in hibernation. And then all of a sudden, the alarm clock of nature goes off, right? They're sleeping all curled up, you know, and all of a sudden, something happens. Beep, 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 beep. Time to eat. So they wake up, and they come out of the shadows. I mean, we see the exactness of God's presence in everything. Of course, our children being born, we see the presence of God. When they're born, we see God's hand. We see God's presence produce that life that we're holding in one arm. We're like, this is a human being. Wow. It already loves me. It's already bonded to me. It's already got a heartbeat. It's already, you know, got needs. Awesome. Be aware of His presence. His presence goes far beyond a Sunday morning service. His presence goes far beyond us singing Amazing Grace and hearing the Word of God. His presence is all around us and in us. That we can escape it. And if we could be mindful of that presence, we would know, man, I'm not alone. In my darkest hour, God, I can still see you because I saw the sun this morning. You've not left. The sun rose. Hallelujah. The clouds blew by my house. You're still blowing your breath upon the earth. You're still in charge. You're still in my life because I see you all around me.
You've not went nowhere, God. You've not abandoned this earth or this nation or me. You're here now. Even in the storms, we can see God. Think about lightning and thunder. We don't like lightning and thunder, most of us. Some of us like it, but, you know, a lot of us don't. It's dangerous and knocks our TV and radio and phones out. We hate that, sitting in the dark with no power. Drives us crazy nowadays with all our technology. But we see in the storm, lightning and thunder, we're seeing God's presence. I mean, man, you see that lightning that streaks across the sky. Just that power and that thunder, that deep rumble that shakes your house. You know what I'm talking about? Your glasses rattle. If I can move it. You know, like that. Just rattles. Man, what power. And then we see the clouds break and that beautiful sun shines again. We see the presence of God. There is sorrow for a night. We endure sorrows for seasons. But there's always joy that comes after that. And church, your joy is going to come again in the morning, just like it has before. You may be in a place of sorrow now, but that joy is on the way. And that sorrow won't stay because God's presence won't allow that to stay. He's going to move on your behalf. I promise you. That's why other times we just wait. Now let me talk, that's all the scripture I got. Let me talk about a couple of examples of God's presence spiritually. Being aware of it, I mean. Remember the story of Peter and, was it Peter and Silas? Peter and John. Acts chapter 3, I believe. Peter and John. And they're walking. And there's a beggar there asking alms. He was a beggar from birth, more likely, and was asking for help. Just like our folks we see here in town, asking for help. They walk by. He said, "Sir, can you help me? Do you have something to give me?" Peter and John, something in them rose up, an awareness of who they were in God, an awareness there was a presence bigger than them there. And they looked at that beggar, said, "Silver and gold have I not." In other words, money's not what you need. I'm not going to give you any money. But what I do have is a lot better. He looked at him and says, "Rise up and walk." And that man rose up from his position of sitting up to his feet and began to go off leaping and dancing and praising God. You know why? They were aware of that presence of God they had to give him what he needed. See, the presence of God is there, like I said this morning, not just for us. We love it. But it's not just to soak us up and to fill us up. It's to fill others up with. Once our tank's full, we go fill someone else's tank up. And we give them a part of what we've received. And we let that Holy Spirit flow out of us into their lives and give it to them. That's exactly what happened with Peter and John. We see many examples in the Bible of the presence of God. We see it in David the giant, a story we all know. We see the presence of God very much aware. David had no fear to face Goliath because he had an awareness of the presence of God in his life. Most of us, if I said, "Look, who wants to come up here and fight this 9-foot giant who's a skilled warrior, covered in armor and a sword?" Any takers? If you were sober, no. None of us would just volunteer for that job. Here is David, a shepherd boy. He had no military experience, not a warrior, not a fighter. But he heard about his people being tormented by this giant. So he said, "Look, I'll go fight him." So they tried to fit him with Saul's armor. And then you know what the Bible says? It didn't fit right. He couldn't wear it. It wasn't him. He said, "I don't need all this armor. Don't need this helmet and breastplate. And so I don't need all that. I've got my way of doing things. I'll handle this." He stood before that giant, had a slingshot and a little stone. And he looked at Goliath. And here's where the awareness of God came. He wasn't looking at Goliath in the natural. He wasn't seeing his enormous size. He wasn't seeing his skilled fighting ability. He wasn't seeing the fear that everybody else was seeing because he was aware of the presence. See, when you're aware of the presence, fear has to leave. Do you hear me, church? When you're aware of the presence of God, fear has to leave because God is over every form of fear that could ever come against your life. He's bigger than all that fear. So David stood there and he said, "I don't come to you with a spear and a sword. I'm not going to fight you the same way you're fighting me. All I need is the word of God against you." And he says, "I come against you in the name of the Lord." And he let that little rock go, and Goliath hit the ground dead as a doornail. And it wasn't the rock that killed him. It was the faith in his God that killed him. Because he was aware of God's presence. He was aware. Everybody else wasn't aware of that. His brethren weren't aware of that. They were trying to match Goliath on his level. We can't fight demons on a human level. We can't fight our enemy on a human level. We have to let the Holy Spirit go before us and fight that for us. We just can't do it within ourselves. We see this presence of God throughout. We see it with the disciples as they did their ministry. The apostles, through all the healings we read about, as they healed the blind and raised the dead. We see the awareness of God. We need to return that awareness of God in our lives. That we should have an awareness that He's not just with us, like I said, on Sunday and Wednesday. He's with us every day. He's with us in our schools, in our jobs, everywhere. He's with us. And if we could just tap into that and realize we're armed all the time. We're armed all the time because we're armed with the presence of God. This beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit He gave us that helps us and strengthens us and fights for us, protects us, equips us, empowers us, infills us, directs us, teaches us, and leads us into all truth. There's power behind that. Why don't you come up here a minute if you will, pull that up. It's on my Facebook. It's on, go to my Facebook and pull up Kenny Cole. It's on his Facebook, one of my friends. Kenny Cole, C-O-L-E. If we would learn to turn to God first and not make Him a plan B or C or D, but a plan A, because that's where our answer is at. God, you're plan A. You're not waiting on my list somewhere. You are plan A. Be aware of God's presence. When you wake up in the morning and you see that sun shine, if it's raining, you're still seeing God's presence. You're seeing that rain from the sky that God's creating. There is no excuse for people not to recognize there's something bigger than them. That's why He made it like He did. He made it so spectacular, so unique, so incredible, so perfect. It takes more faith to believe there's not a God than there is a God, in my opinion. There's more faith to believe there's not a God. I mean, really look at the facts of how perfect everything is and what God does in creation. The animal kingdom, you know, we